We Americans have short attention spans. We're used to soundbite news, fast food, and immediate solutions to problems. However, many people pray for years, asking God for deliverance from appalling situations. The answers never seem to come. So faith is not getting what we want. Faith says we accept what God gives us. Please stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Erwin Lutzer is talking about what to do when the answer disappoints, as it often does for believers in other countries.
Under some countries in Islam, your brothers and sisters are crying up to God for deliverance. And they're not seeing the walls of Jericho fall. They're not seeing the Red Sea as it parts. What they are doing is they are crying up to God and saying, God, where are you? Save our families. Deliver us. And for the most part, they see very little deliverance, though there are some surprising stories of God's intervention. Faith sometimes changes our circumstances, sometimes it doesn't. You know, we love to tell the story of Daniel, who closed the mouths of lions, and it's a true story. But my wife and I, Rebecca, we've been to Rome, and we've walked through the Circus Maximus, where all those Christians did die, and they were thrown to animals. And there was no one there. There was no angel that came out of heaven to close the mouths of those hungry beasts. And they were torn in two. Faith sometimes changes our circumstances. Sometimes faith does not change our circumstances. Number three, faith never judges God by circumstances. Faith never judges God by circumstances. Faith never says, well, God, since you haven't healed that person and since you haven't done what you think I should, I'm out of here. No, the reason that these people, the second category in Hebrews 11, the reason that they also are in the catalog of faith. When you speak of the heroes of faith, the Westminster Abbey of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, never forget to include the last category that never saw the miracles. But they didn't judge God by circumstances. They believed that God was doing right by them, even though he does things differently. You have Acts chapter 12. James is beheaded. And then later on, Peter is delivered. Both of them in prison, one saved, one not. I mean, isn't this the way life is? You see deliverance over here and no deliverance over there. But both are heroes of faith. Sometimes what we need to do is to simply hang on to promises like this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long? We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying, what will separate you from Christ's love? Will being killed do it? No, the sword won't do it. Will sickness do it? The sickness won't do it. Can angels do it? Angels can't do it. Can demons do it? Demons can't do it. And you keep believing no matter what. Some of you haven't been taking notes yet. God bless you. A few of you have. We actually help you, don't we, by giving you my outline in the bulletin. Do you like that, by the way? I do that for you every blessed week. But here's what I'd like you to write down. Faith isn't merely receiving from God what we want. Sometimes faith is simply accepting whatever God gives us. Faith is accepting whatever God gives us. That also is faith. Look at Jesus in Gethsemane. See there, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, Jesus pleads. See him there. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. An angry, bitter woman said to her pastor, so where was your God when my son was killed? And he said he was in the same place where he was when his son was killed. Faith accepts whatever God gives us. We commit ourselves to God and then we leave the decision with him. Yesterday, to be more clear, last week when I preached on what commitment means, and I hope that you are here to hear that, when I preached on what commitment means and how we commit ourselves to God, someone asked me later a very good question. They said, well, does that just mean we commit everything to God and then don't pray anymore? Listen, when you and I commit something to God, we'll pray more about it than we ever have. But our prayers will be filled with thanksgiving and praise and a sense of confidence that it's off our shoulders and it's on God's. The true Christian does not believe that there's no value in prayer unless you see an answer that you would like to see. Prayer has other values, as we've been trying to help each other to understand. Prayer means that I draw near to God with my need. I come preoccupied with my need, but I leave preoccupied with God. And I believe that what God does in me is sometimes more important than what God does for me. As he teaches me faith, as he teaches me love, even when I don't see the miracles. Faith never judges God by miracles, or I should say, never judges God by circumstances. Number four, faith always leads to ultimate victory. It always leads to ultimate victory. I'm back now in just a moment looking at Hebrews chapter 11 again. By the way, faith always leads to ultimate victory. Yes, Hebrews chapter 11. I want to give you an illustration of how people of faith accept disappointment. How do they do it? And why is it that they can ultimately be blessed even though they don't see the miracle they desire? Let me read you a story that is very familiar to all of you. It's found in the book of Daniel, and it has to do with three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bible school, we used to say, shake the bed, make the bed, and into bed you go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king says to them, bow down before this image. If you do not bow down before this image, I will throw you into the fiery furnace. By the way, something not quite like that, but something approaching it could end up being our lot as well. But this is what they say. I love this. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, there's no use even discussing this. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But now notice, but if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. God can deliver us if he wants to, but if he doesn't, we will be people who die in faith, believing that God knows best. Are you to that point in your Christian experience? Oh God, we know that you are able to heal so-and-so. We know that you're able to take care of this situation. But if you don't, let angels and demons and anyone else around me know that I will not swerve in my commitment to you, because faith isn't merely receiving from God the things that I want. Faith is the ability to receive whatever God gives me. Let it be known that I'll continue to believe. You say, well, what does the text mean when it talks about faith leading to ultimate victory? I'm still in chapter 11, and I'm in verse 39. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What's going on there in the text? First of all, they died in faith, and they didn't receive what was promised. As we mentioned in an earlier message, Abraham did not see the fulfillment of the promises that God gave him. God says, Abraham, you're going to have a land, and you're going to have that land. I'm going to give it to you and to your prosperity. Posterity, I think I mean to say. But he also promised him prosperity. Yes, that's right. You know, sometimes when you're speaking, you get your Mings fixed up and you begin backing talk words. It happens every once in a while. He says, Abraham, you're going to have children and they're going to inherit it, but this land is yours. And he has to buy a plot of ground to bury his wife Sarah, the cave of Machpelah. So there's Abraham. He's dying without seeing the fulfillment of the promises. Moses dies and his sins are forgiven, most assuredly, but he's not seen the fulfillment of all of the promises. Jesus hasn't come yet. That's why the text says that without us, they couldn't be made perfect. I mean, if you were here when I preached about this, just at Founders Week, you'll notice that I preached about how people were saved in the Old Testament. They were saved on credit. And so you see, until Jesus came, they could not be made perfect. Their sin could not be finally taken away. And so you see, because they were prior to Calvary, they had faith that Jesus would come eventually and take away their sin. We look back and we thank God that he has come to take away our sin, but both are heroes of faith, but they die without the promise of Jesus fulfilled. And they had to wait for Christ and for us, so to speak, before they see its fulfillment. But the bottom line is simply this, is that we die without seeing many of the promises. Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. It is important that we recognize that sometimes we don't see the fulfillment of the promises. We live with promises that seem to be unfulfilled, but in the end, God will fulfill every last promise he has made. In the day of resurrection, at last, we will have healed bodies. We will have relationships that are eternal. And we'll look back and we'll see God's faithfulness in a way that we cannot see it today. Meanwhile, we have to remain faithful. Hebrews chapter 11 is not a chapter to illustrate the great victories of the Christian life, but rather the endurance of the Christian life. I want you to have these messages, and in a moment you'll be told as to how they can be yours so you can play them again and again. God bless you.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of When the Answer Disappoints, the last in a 6-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. On Monday, the grand summary of this entire series on unanswered prayer. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. As a help in working through unanswered prayer, this series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the triumph of unanswered prayer. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.